الله 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 الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الكريم المنان الذي سمى الدين وعظمه وأنزل الكتاب وأحكمه وأرسل محمدا بالحق وعلمه، ثم الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. In the name of Allah, the generally beneficent, the exceptionally merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is not his son, but servant and messenger. May his peace and blessings be upon him, his households, and those who trail his path, till the end of time. Verily, the most truthful of words is the Book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the worst of issues is that which is newly introduced. Hasn't introduced issues of the term innovation, and innovation leads to misguidance, and the peak of misguidance is that which arrives the door to the doom of hell. May Allah save you and I from the doom of hell. Dear listeners, I'm your regular host, Abu Rayyan Abdul Hamid Uthman. Like we do, we first take questions, and then before we go on to the talk for today, we have two questions before us. The first question is that, is it allowed to fast the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah? How authentic is the fasting of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah? May Allah guide us and accept our worship. It is only authentic to fast the first 9 days and not the first 10 days. So as exalted as we said the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is, it is reported by Hunayd ibn Khalid and from his wife and the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that they said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yasumu tis'a dhul-hijjah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast 9 of dhul-hijjah. Wa yawmu ashura, and the 10th of Muharram. Wa thalathat ayyam min kulli shahr, and he fast 3 days of every month. This hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmad, and it is made authentic by Al-Shaykh Al-Albani. So this is to say that fasting in the first 9 days is mustahab, it is required. But the fasting of the 9th day is most required. It's like mu'akkada, it is most required of us to do that, because that will be the day of Arafah. So it would not be called an innovation, but it would be seen as a mustahab. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامِنَ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. There's no day on the surface of the earth that the actions worship done is most dear to God except in these first 10 days. So what we're saying is that if Allah would not love any action of us done or worship towards Him only in these first 10 days, then fasting also is an act of worship. And also that the Prophet ﷺ fasted it. This hadith is authenticated by Al-Albani. Our second question, Wallahu A'lam, is it authentic, the statement that when you want to slaughter in the Eid, so when you start the first 10 days, should you cut your hair and your fingers? It is an authentic hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا دَخَلَتِ الْعَشْرِ, if the 10 days enters, وَأَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يُضَحِيَهُ, and any of you intends to slaughter, فَلْيُمْسِكْ عَنْ شَعْرِهِ وَأَبْصَارِهِ, such a person should stay clear of his hair and his nails. So this hadith is authentic, narrated by Imam Ahmad and Imam Muslim. Wallahu A'lam, if say someone who has not complied to this ruling, would such a person be a sinner? No, not at all. The person would not be a sinner. It would only be said that the person who does not cut his hair and does not cut his fingernails has done the better than someone who has not done it at all. Sometimes it could be as a result of the ethics of your job. Someone who cooks, for example, and has her fingernails so long, it would not be very hygienic. So at this moment, cutting the fingernails would seem as a necessity. So for such a person, it will not be incumbent. For primarily, it is not even compulsory. It is only required that anyone who intends to slaughter, and it's the 10 sustained days of Dhul-Hijjah starts, the person should stay clear of his hair and also of his fingernails. May Allah guide us aright. So what we're saying now is that it is not a compulsory act, but it is most required. So if for any reason someone has shaved his beard, as we know that it's not ideal that you shaved your beard or you cut any part of your hair in your body in the first 10 nights, first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, it would not be termed as sin. It would only be seen as something that is lesser to the better. So inshallah, brothers and sisters in faith, we'll continue today to talk about the beauties of these first 10 days and righteous deeds we should do in these holy days of Dhul-Hijjah. We talked about lots of action deeds. We talked about tawbah, we talked about al-i'tikaf, we talked about fasting, we talked about bolting our intentions to doing all sorts of righteous deeds, commanding good deeds and condemning evil. All of these things would be seen as beautiful things that we should do in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Amongst the things we should also learn is the takbir wa tahlil wa tahmid. The takbir is to say Allahu Akbar, wa tahlil is to say La ilaha illallah, wa tahmid is to say Alhamdulillah. Like we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Ibn Umar narrated that the Prophet said, there is no day on the surface of the earth that any righteous deed is most dear to God, except in these 10 days. Imam Bukhari said, Ibn Umar and Abu Huraira goes out to the market in his first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and they would only go there to give glorifications, chanting praises of Allah and thanking Him. And they would say this loudly. So this is to say that from the first 10 days, the day of Arafah, and until after the Eid, the specificity of Ayyam al-Tashriq, we should always say our takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. So we should endeavor to continue to say it at all times. Al-ikthar min a'mal al-salihah, umuma. We should do lots of righteous deeds in general. We should do lots of goodies. We should recite the Quran. We should sit in a masjid. We should listen to the khutbah. We should make nawafil. We should give charity. There is no day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove someone from the doom of hell more than He removed someone on the day of Arafah. And really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes dearer to the surface of the earth, and He would suddenly boast with the people of the earth on the angels in the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive everyone who worships Him dearly and solely on this day. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أفضل الدعاء يوم عرفة, the most glorious of prayers of the day of Arafah, it is that statement that I have said and the prophets before me have said, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. It is to say, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. So you're not to make some unnecessary gathering or some unnecessary slaughtering and some unnecessary offering that is not authenticated by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the best prayers you should say everywhere you are, in your work, in your car, when you're walking, when you're talking, when you're sitting, when you're standing, anywhere you find yourself, is to say La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku wal hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. So then after the next day, we would start to offer animals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in glorification to Him and to show true servitude to Him. This udhiyah is termed as the offering of the camel, the cattle, the goats on the day after the Arafah and the 3 days after it. This offering is exalted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned it. Allah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever exalts the symbol of faith, such a person possesses piety in his heart. Allah ta'ala also said, what reaches Allah, it's not the flesh and not the blood, But what reaches Allah is the piety of the one slaughtering the animal. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma amala adamiyyun min amalin yawm an-nahr ahabba ila Allahi min ihraq ad-dam." No servant of Allah does any righteous deed closer to Allah on this day than the slaughtering of the animal. The slaughtering of the animal is a shield from the doom of hell. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ضحى طيبة بها نفسه محتسبا لأضحيته كانت له حجابا من النار." Whoever slaughters pleasantries of his heart, no one is forcing him to do it, and expecting favors from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant him the shield from the hellfire. He would not enter hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it would also grant you forgiveness of sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Fatima, "Ya Fatima, kumi ila udhiyatik fashhidiha." O Fatima, stand up to your slaughtering, to your animal, and witness how it's been slaughtered. فَإِنَّ لَكِ بِأَوَّلْ قَطْرَ تَقْطُرُ مِنْ دَمِهَا أَنْ يُغْفَرُ لَكِ مَا سَلَفَ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكِ. It is for you that the first droplet of blood from your animal would mean an expiation of sin for you. And Fatima said, هَلَنَا خَاصَّةٌ. Is it for us alone? And then Prophet ﷺ said, بَلْ لَنَا وَلِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. It is for us and for the whole believer. So if you're slaughtering, or your woman, and you have people slaughtering the animal for you, it is also ideal that you witness it when it's been slaughtered, because this would also mean a forgiveness of sin for you. It is not ideal that you're able to offer this animal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you stay clear of it. It is a sin. It's not good. It is reported that Prophet ﷺ would always frown at those who have the ability to offer the animals and they wouldn't do it. What is the ruling for this? It is sunnah mu'akkada. It is an incumbent worship. So if you don't do it, it's not like you're a disbeliever or something, but it is a required worship that if you do it, you're rewarded, and it would be recorded for you a great deal of worship. What are the rulings for it? What are the concepts for this kind of animal that we're going to slaughter? The foremost is that as-salamat min al-uyub. The animal we're going to slaughter must be clear from all sorts of defect. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, "Arba'un la tajuz fil adahi." Four kinds of animal are not allowed to be slaughtered. Al-a'ra al-bayyin 'awruha. Animal that is not seen clearly, looking at you and it seems to you that it's looking to the east. وَالْمَرِيضَةُ الْبَيِّنُ مَرَضُهَا. An animal that is extremely ill, sick, stooling, cannot stand up. Okay, you don't use such animals to slaughter for the Eid. وَالْعِرْجَاءُ الْبَيِّنُ ضِلْعُهَا. So skinny and so slimy, so unhealthy. Animal that is so clear that the ribs are so clear, bony stature. وَالْعَجْفَاءُ. So dummy. Animal that is not so sharp and you cannot help it to do well. All of these kind of animals, the Prophet ﷺ said, you don't use them to make offerings to Allah. All of the animals that are clear from all sorts of defects. So some instances, the ears are chopped off totally. You don't use such animals. Or one leg is broken and then it's dancing when it's walking. So all sorts of animals, you don't use them to make offerings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also allowed that seven people can gather, slaughter on cattle. So it's not bad if you don't have money to buy a ram or a goat, something like that. And then seven of you gather money to buy a cattle. The Prophet ﷺ commanded Jabir. Jabir reported that أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نشترك في الإبل والبقر كل سبعة في واحد منهما. The Prophet ﷺ had ordered that seven people can gather to kill a cattle or a camel. This is a hadith narrated by Imam Muslim. So this is to say that you can also make a cattle as often. If it is a goat, it is okay if it is nusfusana, half a year, a goat that is up to 6 months, it can be eligible to be slaughtered. But if it is a ram, a sheep, for example, then it has to be of a year before it's legal for you to slaughter it. But if it is a baqara, a cattle, then it has to be 2 years. And if it's a camel, then it has to be 5 years. Wallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala a'lam. Dearest listeners, if you've got questions, advice and inquiries, you could call the line 00-3045-4903. What is upon he who slaughters? The foremost of it is hudur, adab. You have to witness the slaughtering. Like we said earlier, the Prophet ﷺ said to Fatima, Qumi wa fashhadi, stand up and witness the slaughtering of your animal. The second is adam bay'i jild al-udhiya. It is wrong that you sell the skin of the animal. The Prophet ﷺ said, Man ba'a jild al-udhiyatah, fala udhiyatalah. Whoever sells the skin of the animal, then the offering is not registered with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا أُضْحِيَةَ لَهُ. So if you offer your skin and sell after killing it, then it means you have not killed the animal for Allah's sake. You've killed it to trade. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give you the total reward for it. It is also allowed that you spread it amongst your people, you share it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلُوا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرُ. You should eat of it, and then you should also give it out to people. The Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُوا وَأَطْعِمُوا وَادَّخِرُوا. Eat of it, give out to people, and reserve for yourself. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ أَكْلِ لُحُومِ الْأَضَاحِي فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَادَّخِرُوا. It is before that I commanded you not to eat of it, that you should not share it. But now you should eat of it, keep for yourself, and give out to the people. It is also very incumbent that we don't just keep it down and delay it. We should hastily give it out to those who would benefit from it. Because hastily giving it out, it would meet for the purpose of the joy that we would need to gain for that day. وَلَّا يَمُنَّ عَلَى الْمُعْطِي. You shouldn't boast on the one that you have given that. Oh, didn't I give you the meat? Did you not find it so delicious? Did you enjoy it? Oh, look at him, he's eating too much of the meat. That is why he's stooling. Or you go telling people that, oh, look at him. Look at his belly now getting swelly. He's getting fat-bellied because I have fed him with our meat. You don't say these things because قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. A nice word is more deserved than a charity that you'd inflict injury on people then after. So then you don't say evil things to people after having given them righteous things. So if you don't know before that you shouldn't cut your hair and your fingernails, and you have not shaved your hair and any part of your body and your fingernails, you have not cut it off, then you can stay put till after the offering of the animals, because doing this is much required. Then if there's any reason that you've got to shave your hair or cut your fingernails, then you're not a sinner. But those who have done it, they're most rewarded in the sight of Allah than someone who has not done it. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Scholars of faith would also say that man asa Allah yawm al-Eid kaman asa Allah yawm al-Wa'id. Whoever offends Allah on the day of the Eid, he has seen someone wakes up on the day of judgment and still comes to offend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stay clear of all the things that would incur you sin in the sight of Allah. Don't engage in all sorts of a feast that would bring about committing sin. Don't gather in any gathering that would bring you the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ الْعِيدْ مِنْ لُبْسِ الْجَدِيدِ. It is not to celebrate the Eid by wearing a new cloth. وَلَكِنَّ الْعِيدْ مَنْ خَافَ الْوَعِيدِ. But the true Eid, it is to fear the day that you'd meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have been listening to your Dolim program, The Voice of Islam, coming on to you from your Dolim FM, Unilawing 89.3, better by far. I'm your brother in faith, Abu Rayyan Abdul Hamid Osman. For questions, advice and inquiries, you could call the line 080-3045-4903. 080-3045-4903. I wish you and myself a fruitful Eid till I come your way after the Eid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah, Allah, Allah. 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 Allah, Allah, Allah.